Well, it was a shock and a surprise and a sad surprise and then a happy surprise to get an email announcement yesterday from Sustainable Twin Ports that, in essence, they're no longer sustainable, but it's for the best possible reason. Jeff Bell is the board president of Sustainable Twin Ports. He joins us on the phone this morning to tell us a little bit more about the bittersweet news. Hey, Jeff, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
So tell us about the decision to shutter Sustainable Twin Ports.
Well, it has been a long process. We've been thinking about it probably for about 3 years now. And basically, it was created a little over a decade ago, and the landscape in Duluth has changed significantly since it was created. When it was created, sustainability was a really new concept. And, you know, what is that? And now it has become almost a norm in the community. There are a lot of organizations that are doing their best to practice sustainable practices. And so a lot of the services that we were able to do are really in some ways no longer necessary. And so we made the decision. After trying, we spent some time doing focus groups and surveys and interviews of past users, of people who were potential users. And we decided that probably there was not a lot that we of service that we could provide that wasn't already being provided by someone else or that they could get in another manner. So we decided, as you say, in a bittersweet sort of thing, that we've done enough and the community has advanced enough that maybe it was just time to move on.
You mentioned in the news release that you had used a cohort as an operating model. And if folks aren't up to their necks in academia, can you talk a little bit about how that looks, what that was like?
Sure. I actually had the great pleasure of helping train several of the cohorts. And so what it is you get you assemble a group of organizations who are all interested in enhancing their sustainability, their operations, and you bring them together. And the format that the organization used was we'd bring them together and we'd give them training either for a half a day or a day, and then they'd go back to their organization and try to implement that in their organization, and they'd work on that, and then they'd come back in a month and we'd have an update and we'd have another kind of we present a different topic to them, and again, they'd go back, and that was the cohort would exist for about 6 months. It was of a variety of businesses and organizations in each cohort, so it wasn't all restaurants or all public service organizations. There would be, I'm trying to think, one of the ones I was involved in, we had Canal Park Brewing and Fond du Lac in the same one. And there's something nice about having that diversity of enterprises taking part in the sense that you're not worried that you're talking with your competitors. You're talking with others in other industries who are having some of the same struggles and challenges that you're having.
Well, anytime that you have the opportunity to meet people that you maybe normally wouldn't meet that are doing something similar to what you're doing or they have a similar position in their company, you know, that expands your network and it expands your reach of people that you can call on for help, no matter what it might be. And
yeah.
So that's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. Yes, it sure was.
Now, one of the things that interests me about this, as you were describing it, is that, of course, when you start talking about implementing something on a governmental level, and I guess I'm picking on the government or a university level and picking on the university a little bit, frequently there needs to be studies, and it's a slow process. But you were bringing everybody together every month, giving them action steps, saying, go back and do this now, and then 4 weeks later, meeting again, giving them another action step, go back and do this now. So, I mean, things were really happening quickly. How did that work for the businesses? Were they excited about this opportunity to really just, not wasting a lot of time, just boots on the ground, go?
That was both a blessing and a curse. because we also dealt with a lot of small businesses. So you're asking primarily the business owner to take a lot of time out of doing their business and do some other things that they wouldn't necessarily have been doing otherwise. And so, yes, it makes a lot of progress very quickly on some of this, but also if you're a small business person, it's again different if you're working at a large organization of multi-thousand people. Well, yes, we can task someone with that. But if you're the small business owner and there are three employees, who's going to do the work? And so that was, I think, one of the challenges. It also presented some really interesting opportunities for them, and we had some real revelations. I remember working with one small business person here in town, and I was talking about the essence of the triple bottom line, social, environmental, and economic. And we talked about it and had a break, and he came up to me, and he was really excited. And he said to me, "You mean if I try to become sustainable, I don't have to quit making money?"
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, he was really... This is how committed some of these people were. He was coming into this project with the assumption that, oh my God, if I do this, I can't ever be profitable again. And so for him to have the realization that they're not mutually incompatible was just revelatory. He was just like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
But the thing that's amazing is that this was somebody who was participating, operating under the wrong assumption. As it turns out, operating under the misinformation that he wasn't going to be profitable anymore, but he was still on board with it.
And that's something I think that you'll find that has changed today because there's so much more awareness. So, for example, if you take an organization like Walmart, Walmart has found lots of ways to try to reduce its carbon footprint that's in alignment with its business strategy so that it cuts its carbon footprint, but it'll often cut costs as a result of that. And you and I as consumers see the benefit when we go into their store and see lower prices. And so that, I think the notion that was expressed, whatever it was, 5-6 years ago, that, oh my goodness, can I still make money? More and more businesses are seeing that the two are not opposed, that if I can align this into my organization, I can make potentially even more money. I can have a profit source from being more sustainable. And there's lots more success. And those stories are more public. And again, that's part of what when we started, wasn't out there. We didn't know about these companies that were doing it successfully.
So you had an incredible group of people leading your cohorts, taking part in these cohorts. You had a handful, well, maybe a double handful of extremely talented folks from across the spectrum. My thought is that the social and environmentally responsible step, since Sustainable Twin Ports has accomplished its goal, is for you to repurpose, recycle, if you will, your group and take on something new. Don't just disband, just rebrand. Take on a different focus and a different project. What are you going to do next? What could you do next?
Well, we as individuals are each going to be pursuing the things that we care about in the organizations in which we're part. So, for example, I teach at UMD, and for 5 or 6 years now, I've been a member of and then chairing both the Leibovitz School's Sustainable Education Committee and UMD's Sustainable Education Committee. And so now that I don't have a commitment to try to do stuff with Sustainable Twin Ports, I can spend more time and effort bringing sustainability into the curriculum for the kids at UMD. I'm also a member of Copper Top Church, and we have a sustainability group at Copper Top who's working really, really hard to try to make our church more sustainable, and we can do that. And I think you'll find that every member on the board is able to plug in other ways. And there are other organizations out there, the Eco Rotary Group, Equilibrium 3. Again, there's a lot more choices. And so trying to find something unique in the marketplace at this point, because there's no sense in replicating what other people are doing.
No, but you could take on something completely different, like homelessness or poverty, or it seems like you could take on another environmental/social issue of your choice and use this really successful model to make profound change in some area. It seems, just off the top of my head, because I love volunteering other people's time, it just seems like you had so much success with this and this worked so well that it seems a shame to dismantle it. And it would seem like if you could, you know, just pick a different focus, it could be amazing.
I think that possibly. I think part of it may have been the passion of these people is a lot of the sustainability stuff. And there are other people who are equally well, who are passionate about homelessness or other projects, as you say, out there. And if there were to be a model, you know, certainly if people wanted to talk with us about the training model and if it were to be appropriate, we'd be more than willing to talk with people about how they could implement it to try to deal with some of the issues that you're talking about. But I think a lot of the heart that a lot of our people have is what can we do? And at this point, it's better done without the umbrella organization.
Right.
And that's a pain in some ways because, frankly, the people on the board of Sustainable Twin Ports and the people I've worked with over the years there are some of the absolutely finest people I've ever had a privilege of working with. These are absolutely top drawer people. And, you know, when we made the decision, we probably dragged it out even longer than we would have because we just like each other. And there's actually, I suspect, a fairly good chance that if you call me back in a year, you'll find that there's a group quietly meeting every the third Thursday of the month or something at some
coffee
local
shop.
Drinking
yes,
establishment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
because we love each other a lot. These are good people.
Well, it's wonderful. I mean, it really is good news for any organization, for any group of people that would like to try to make some kind of substantive change in the community, that a really successful model does exist. And the proof is in the pudding. And you have the numbers and you can show how your model was able to really successfully move change forward. And you folks are there as a resource for people who want to get more information. So it's not only good in terms of the way our culture has shifted, the way our community has shifted, but to know there is a way to make substantive change and make it relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Is pretty good news for, I think, any organization in the community that is wanting to make that kind of change. Jeff, thank you so very much for joining us this morning and telling us a little bit more about it. And, yes, the Sustainable Twin Ports Social Club will want to track that so that people can find out where to meet you on the third Thursday of every month.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for your interest. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Have a great day.
Jeff Bell joined us this morning here on 103.3 KUMD. Sustainable Twin Ports is disbanding because everybody's sustainable. Well, almost everybody. So it's kind of good news.